We are in 1 Peter, and we are in chapter 5, and my plan was today to finish 1 Peter and to wrap up this series, but instead, we're going to drop down to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, and it reads, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering." First, he says, be alert and of sober mind. He says this three times throughout the book of 1 Peter, throughout the letter. Be alert, be sober. We tend to think of being sober as just being clear-minded, or these days it just means not drunk. To be sober, to be clear-minded, but he's actually saying, in line with the suffering and the struggles and the troubles that we've been discussing, he's saying to be calm and collected. Be calm and be collected. Don't freak out. Literally, be cautious and be calm. Be cautious and be calm. If we had a conversation about something in three separate times while we were talking, if I said, hey, I want you to be cautious and be calm, later on I come back and I say, you know, while we're talking, hey, and by the way, be cautious, be calm. If I did that three times, you would start to think I was either suffering from short-term memory loss or I had something very important to say in the realm of being cautious and being calm. I'm trying to tell you something. Peter here is trying to tell us something. So he says, keep your eyes open, be alert, be cautious, and keep yourself calm, because your enemy, your adversary, the devil, in the Greek, that's diabolos, the accuser or the slanderer. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. You have a real enemy. You have a real adversary. Now, we've talked about the different kinds of suffering that we endure. We talked about this last week. There were three different kinds of suffering that we discussed. Persecution for being a Christian. There's people who just don't like you because they don't like Jesus, they don't like Christianity, they don't like God, and therefore they don't like you. The second was struggles from other people who bring temptation, or they're just plain mean or jerky or rude, because that's just how some people are. There's people out there, they're just foul in their temperament, and they're going to make your life difficult no matter what. And then the third was simply the struggles of life. It's sickness or it's disease, it's money troubles, work, pain, broken cars, things that just get in the way of life operating smoothly, and it happens all the time. But this is the real enemy. When it all boils down to it, this is the real enemy. The adversary wants to use all of these kinds of sufferings and struggles to take you down and to make you ineffective. So are you telling me, Brett, that there's really a devil? Yes. Are you telling me that, like, there's this guy who runs around with the pitchfork and the red pajamas, right? The little pointy beard, and he's the devil? Well, I don't know about the pajamas. I'm not sure about the pitchfork. But there is a devil. There is an enemy. There is a devil. There is an angel, Lucifer, who was the worship leader up in heaven, who decided that he wanted to be like God. And so he rebelled. And in his rebellion, he convinced other created beings, angels, some of the angels, to follow after him. And he has been in rebellion against God ever since. And he doesn't like God. He wants to have the power of God. He wants to rule instead of God. And he does not love what God loves, and therefore he does not love you. So the enemy, the devil, the adversary, the diabolos, Satan, the accuser. He wants to use these different kinds of sufferings and these struggles to take you down and to make you ineffective. There are people who are persecutors, and they don't like you because they don't like God, they don't like Jesus, so they're going to come against you. But we can endure a great many of these things, but the devil wants to use that to tear you down. When there are people who are mean and cruel in your life, we can endure many of these things. We can even endure the hard things that they tell us, the mean things that they do. We can even overcome the abuse. And sometimes that's physical abuse. Sometimes that's mental abuse. We can endure the personal cutting attacks that they make on us. We can oftentimes endure these things. But the devil wants to use that to tear you down. We deal with sickness. There is simply sickness in this world. There's disease in this world. There are things that happen and come against us. But the devil wants to use those things to tear you down, to make you feel worse about yourself, to make you feel worse about who you are in Christ or who you are to the Father. And he wants to make you ineffective. It's one thing to endure sickness or money troubles, but it's another thing when the attack becomes, see, God doesn't love you, or you'd feel better already. You're a loser anyways. It's one thing to endure temptation or someone's rudeness, but it's another thing to hear, you know, you just might as well give in. Just do it. Just sleep with her. Take the thing. Fire back with an insult. You know you want to. It's one thing to be persecuted for being a Christian, but quite another to feel lost and to feel alone and cut off from God. The enemy is looking to take you down. The devil is like when you're standing on the edge of the pool at the party and you realize that there you are. You haven't been watching what you're doing or where you're going, and you realize that you're standing at the edge of the deep end, and your friends notice. And as they look at you, you realize you're about to go in. And the devil is like you standing there on the edge of the deep end, and you're thinking, all right, I'm going in. And I'm going to take as many as you with me as I can. If I'm going in, I'm grabbing arms, I'm grabbing legs, I'm grabbing hair. You're all coming with me. I'm going to take whoever I can with me into the pool. The devil is going to do all he can to take whomever he can with him. But yeah, but I'm a Christian. He can't actually like drag me into hell, can he? Well, no. If you're a Christian, no. But if he can tear you down, and if he can compromise you, if he can immobilize you, then he can make you completely ineffective. So how do you deal with this enemy? Verse 9, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kinds of suffering. So we'll start from the back of the sentence and we'll work forward. First of all, we recognize that other Christians are going through the same things that you are. Right? That's what he says. He says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers, that's us, that is Christians throughout the world, are going through the same kinds of sufferings. So, first thing we do is we recognize that other Christians are going through the exact same things. You're not alone. No matter what, you are not alone. We were having there was a prayer meeting on Saturday, and Carla was telling me about some of the discussions, and sure enough, as people are talking about the attack that we can be under, the struggles that we deal with, it's like sickness, 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 and then it's like my kid. It's all these different things, but it's like everyone's dealing with the same thing. Years ago, I was teaching, and I was sharing the fact that we all go through the same thing, right? We all deal with the same thing. And then I had someone come up to me afterwards, and he says, hey, I want you to pray with me. I'm living at home. I'm living with my mom. She's super frustrating. I don't know what to do. And she's trying to make me do this and trying to make me do that. And I'm having all these issues. I just need some prayer. I said, yeah, sure. Let's pray. And and he wraps it up with, I feel totally alone, like no one understands. And then he leaves, and then this other guy comes up to me, and he says, hey, can you pray for me? I'm living at home. I'm with my aunt, and all these things are going on, and I feel like she doesn't understand me. It was like almost verbatim. The only difference was mom and aunt. You know what I mean? And it's like we're going through the same struggles. We're going through the same issues. I guarantee you that if you're going through something, that there is nothing that you're dealing with that is so incredibly unique that there's not somebody else, probably even in a room of this size, that is either not going through it or hasn't gone through it in a same or similar way. So we know that we're not alone. And if you're not alone, he says, so then stand firm in the faith. Know that you are a child of God. That you are a receiver of a holy inheritance, that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a living stone in his holy temple, as we've been reading throughout 1 Peter. And he says, resist the devil. Peter's telling us to resist the devil who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And I've heard people say, well, you know, this lion, it's a toothless lion. Lion's got bite. And the devil's got some bite. And it hurts. It can be painful. He's looking for someone to devour. Peter knows this very well because Jesus called him off to one side at one point and said, look, Peter. You need to understand that Satan is desiring to sift you like wheat. He wants to separate you as powder. Peter, the devil's coming after you. I want you to be prepared. And Peter was sifted. Peter was divided up and ultimately brought back to the Lord after falling asleep when he was asked to pray, after attacking the guards who came to arrest Jesus, after denying Jesus three times, ultimately he was brought back. The lion is dangerous. The lion is tough. Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. If only just standing, it's still to stand. Oh, but I've endured, I've gone through this whole thing. I feel like all I'm doing is still just standing there. You know what? You're standing. You're standing. So stand firm. And he says, resist the devil. Resist him. Resist the devil? Why not run away? Do we fight or do we flee? We looked at the armor of God. We wear the armor of God because it's there to protect us. Ephesians chapter 6 details the armor of God. Why don't we flee? Because the armor of God is meant for a frontal attack. The helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Bible. What's not protected? Your back. Why don't we flee? Because you're not protected in fleeing. We're not intended to flee. We're intended to resist the devil. What do we flee from? First Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, we flee from the love of money. Flee from it. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee the evil desires of youth. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee sexual immorality. There's things that we flee from. We run away from the temptations. Those are life situations. Those are things that come up against us. Those are things that are there to tempt us. You flee temptation. You flee sin. But the sins are not attacking us. It feels like an assault sometimes, but sin does not attack us. So we want to steer clear from those things that can actually pull us in. But resist the devil. How? We stand firm by not being moved. When Jesus went into the desert and Satan wanted to tempt him, what did he do? He gave the devil a Bible study. With every assault, he responded with Scripture. And that Scripture was given to us, the whole of Scripture is given to us to show the character of God and to define His love for us. So when the devil attacks with, you're a loser. No, I'm a child of God. 1 John 5:1. No, you're not holy, you're dirty. I am holy and dearly loved. Colossians 3:12. Yeah, but you're a sinner. And he's thrown my sin as far away as the east is from the west. So far has he removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 103:12. Yeah, but you just sinned today. I watched it right before church. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Turn, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 23. Now, oftentimes, as we are going through the New Testament, it helps us understand the Old Testament. There are, for particular principles in the New Testament, we'll find an example in the Old Testament. We often discover that in the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. In the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Right? In the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. In the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. They help us understand one another. So, 2 Samuel chapter 23, and if you're looking for that, that's towards the beginning of your book. It's just a few books in. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel. If you hit Revelation, you've gone too far. Starting in verse 20. This is an accounting of David's mighty men. And he's kind of telling stories about his various top soldiers that he had. Verse 20, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was a valiant fighter from Kabzeel who performed great exploits. He struck down two of Moab's best men. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. And he struck down a huge Egyptian. Although the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, Benaiah went against him with a club, and he snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. So here we have this example with Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. How is this like resisting the devil? Benaiah, his name means built by God. Built by God, and we are, as believers, we are built by God. He builds us up. Our trials come so that our faith might be proved genuine. Our trials come so that our faith might be proved genuine. He builds us up. He allows us to go through struggles. He allows us to go through trials in order to build us up, to show our faith as genuine. Benaiah, he is built by God. He's the son of Jehoiada. Jehoiada, his name means God knows. God knows. We go through struggles. We go through trials. God knows. He knows what you're going through. He knows your struggles. He knows your trials. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, he was a valiant fighter from Kabzeel. Kabzeel was in the kingdom of Judah, and it was in the southern, easternmost, it was the furthest town, the most remote town in the kingdom of Judah. When you're going through struggles, when you're going through trials, you often feel that you are in the remote places. You are in the furthest place away that you could possibly be. You feel alone. You feel separated. So here is the man built by God, the son of the one who knows, fighting in the most remote place. He is from the most remote place in the kingdom, but he performed great exploits. He struck down two of Moab's best men. Well, what does that have to do with it? Moab was a country that was just to the, it was to the south and to the east of Israel. Moab, the people of Moab, were technically cousins, if you would, of the Israelites. We know that the Israelites came from Abraham. The Moabites came from Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew. So there was a kinship between the two nations, and yet the Moabites did not follow after God. They did not seek God. But they were part of the same family, if you would. And so here he struck down two of Moab's best men. The name Moab means from my father. And if you understand, Lot's son, Moab, was his daughter's son. I'll let you do the math. Moab's son was his daughter's son. He was named from my father. There's a story that goes along with that, and there's an explanation for it, but it's not okay. His name means from my father. So here is the one going through the struggle, the trial, Benaiah, and he is dealing with and striking down two men who are from my father. We often can deal with persecution inside of the church, can't we? We end up dealing with persecution against those who are from our father. People who we expect to have grace from, and yet we get attacked even from inside of the church sometimes. Then he went down into a pit on a snowy day, and he killed a lion. He didn't run from the lion. In fact, he even went into the pit. He sought out the lion, and it was cold, and it was remote, and he goes into the pit to deal with the lion. And in the same way, sometimes we go into the pit to deal with our struggles, to deal with our issues. Sometimes going through something means already knowing that we're going to go deeper and deeper down. And we're prepared. We have to prepare ourselves sometimes for that struggle. Here goes, I am now going down into the pit to face my lion. And then he struck down a huge Egyptian. Now in the Bible, the Egyptians, Egypt is a type of the world. So he's dealt with the Moabites, who are here in essence a type, a representation of the church. And then he's going to go against an Egyptian. And the Egyptian is a type of the world. So now he's going against the world. So how does he deal with this huge Egyptian, this attack from the world? Although the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, Benaiah went against him with a club. And he snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand, and he killed him with his own spear. Which is pretty tough when you get down to it, right? Coming at some big old guy coming at you with a spear, snatches the spear, kills him with it. But what's the lesson here? As he's dealing with the world, he kills the enemy with its own weapon. He goes after the enemy with its own weapon. So how do we deal with the world? How do we deal with the assaults of the world and take the spear and thrust it back? How do we deal with the assaults of an enemy? How do we resist the devil? If you feel an unusual call to lust, you know how it is. You're driving down the freeway and you see that billboard, you see that place, you hear that message on the radio or whatever it is, it's a particular song, something that sparks something in you. You feel that unusual call to lust, start praying for 15 people that you know that might deal with the exact same issue. I'm sure we could count those 15 people out in this room. Why don't you start praying for me? I'm only human. You start feeling the call to lust, start praying for 15 people that you know will deal with the exact same issue, that they might stand firm and that they might be strong as well. You feel caught up in gossip. You're hanging out with your friends, and you know, it starts as a prayer request. You know, have you heard about Bucky? We really need to pray for Bucky and Kim. Because I heard, and then the gossip begins. And when you feel tempted to begin in that gossip, you start up with the merits of those people. Yeah, but you know what I happen to know about Bucky? I happen to know that Bucky's a really faithful guy. I love how Bucky studies his Bible. I love how Kim just desires to help people and how she's been, you know, studying and learning and growing in the Lord. And it shuts it down. You fight back with the same thing that is being given to you. And then you pray for those who are gossiping about it. You might just stop and say, Lord, I just want to pray for gossipers right now. When you feel tempted, begin not only praying for yourself, but for all of the brothers and the sisters around the world who are undergoing the same kinds of suffering as you. When you're being hit, when the trial comes, when you are being presented with the issue, you pray. You get together with others and you pray. Go back to your word and you study and you see what it is that God has been doing in your life, the things that God did in other people's lives throughout the generations. You learn that you can trust Him, that you can count on Him. And if He's seen you through before, you know He can see you through again. And when you make this your personal habit, when it becomes your habit, the lust comes, the thought comes, the desire to steal or to cheat or to get an advancement or to lie about something, whatever it is, whatever your common issue is, when it comes, when you recognize it and you pray for others and you pray for yourself and you pray for all of these things, you resist the devil. You resist him. And I'm not talking about these, devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus, right? We're not talking about that. You know what? I don't even want to talk to him. I've got nothing to say to him. My prayers to the Lord, my prayers for brothers and sisters around the world. And when his attacks begin to cause you to pray for other people, you know what he's going to do? He's going to run away because it is backfiring on him. When it becomes your standard, when it becomes the regular thing that you do, and then you find that you start to catch yourself faster and faster, you don't jump into anger like you did before. You don't jump into lust like you did before. In fact, issues of lust might just start reminding you of the fact that I'm supposed to be praying right now, and it just zaps the energy out of it. And it reveals it for what it really is, something to pull us away from the Lord. Let the enemy's attacks backfire. Grab his spear, take it from him, and thrust it back. We stand firm. In verse 10, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, it's not always easy. After you've endured, after you've struggled, after you've resisted, after you've stood firm, look, after the dust clears, we show up in our armor, the helmet, the breastplate, the belt, the shoes, the sword, and we go into the skirmish, and the dust cloud just envelops everything, but as the dust settles, you are standing. And if it's only to just stand, and sometimes we're ready for the next enemy, you're ready to get going, and sometimes you just gotta... Okay, wipe the blood from your nose and just get ready to go for it again. But it's so that we can standing in the shoes of peace. After you've endured, the God of all grace will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. He will see you through the trials. For our trials come so that our faith might be proved genuine. Verse 11, to him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the example that you give us. First, through Peter, who endured, even fell, and did more than just skinned a knee. That he endured, but he learned, and he grew, and he came back to you, and he stood firm. He stood firm. We thank you, Lord, for the message of Benaiah. Lord, we who are built by you, our Father who knows, out in the remote parts, enduring attacks from sometimes within the church, sometimes from the world, and sometimes it's even preparing to descend into the pit. We have to prepare for the difficulty to come. But Lord, you give us the strength. Give us the strength, Father, we ask. Give us the wisdom, Father, we ask. We ask for the skill, the spiritual fighting skill that it takes to rip that spear away and thrust it back. Father, we know that these things come through our struggles, through our trials. As we go through trial after trial after trial, it's so that we can grow and grow and grow. Like lifting the barbells and putting on heavier weight, it hurts, but we grow stronger every day. So, Father, we thank you for those obstacles, as hard as it is to thank you for pain. But, Lord, you do it to make us more like you, to conform us to your good and perfect image. So, Father, we thank you. We lift up your name and we praise you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said.